Hi, we continue in our studies of the practices of a disciple maker, and we look at the fourth practice, which is found in the same Luke 10. We're looking at the instructions that Jesus gave his disciples as he prepared them for a life of mission. He prepared them for a life of, you know, multiplying disciples. And we see where Jesus said in Luke chapter 10, as he sent them out, he said, whatever house you enter, that's in verse 5, whatever house you enter, first say peace to this house. First say peace to this house. So Jesus instructed his disciples to first say peace to this house. You know, bring peace. Be somebody that brings a blessing to a place. How? Even with your words. Even with your words. So we're talking about initiating relationships through conversations. Starting a conversation with somebody with the aim of bringing peace to their lives, with the aim of helping them discover Jesus and grow in their experience of him as disciples. So a disciple maker is one who initiates relationships through conversations. Remember that Jesus actually went to the fishermen by the Sea of Galilee and called them. He didn't wait for them to come and say, oh, master, would you like to disciple me? No, Jesus went to them and initiated that conversation. He said, come and follow me and I will make you fishers of men. If we are going to find people to disciple, we must be people who initiate conversations. Luke 19, 1 to 10 tells the story of Zacchaeus. Now, Zacchaeus was a rich person, likely a multimillionaire. I mean, he wasn't a tax collector. Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector. So he had several tax collectors under him. We're talking about a very wealthy man. Anybody who can give away half of his wealth and not be afraid of going bankrupt, that person must have a lot of money. Somebody who is willing to give away four times or whatever he has ever stolen from anybody and not fear that somehow he may go broke, that person is not a small person. He has money. But imagine this multimillionaire on a tree, sitting on a tree to catch a glimpse of a man of God. He must be looking for something more than he has. Now, Jesus walks up to Zacchaeus and initiates a conversation. Never had any conversation with Zacchaeus ever before, but Jesus must have been prompted by the Spirit, seeing this man on a tree, goes to him and calls him by name, Zacchaeus, come down, for today I must have supper in your house. I mean, that was so simple. There is nothing in that story that indicates that Jesus was preaching to Zacchaeus. Food. Come, I want to come and eat in your house today. And that became the beginning of salvation that came to Zacchaeus' house. Because as he came down from the tree, they went home and they had a meal. We're not told the conversations that took place after that between Jesus and Zacchaeus. But in the middle of the meal, with many people gathered, Zacchaeus gets up and begins to announce his repentance speech. And Jesus says, today, salvation has come to this house. Where did it begin? A conversation that Jesus initiated. And then, of course, we see in John chapter 5 from verse 1, where Jesus went to an invalid man and initiated a conversation. Unlike many people who came to Jesus and said, I want to be healed, or I have a servant who is almost dead, or I have a son who is at home, or Jairus' daughter, oh, Rabbi, come and heal my... No, in this case, it's Jesus that went to this man and said, do you want to be healed? And we know the rest of the story. The man gave his long story, and Jesus says, well, just pick up your mat and go home. And it caused a major rift in the city. As Jesus, you know, healed this man by simply initiating a conversation. What are we talking about? We're talking about, you know, starting conversations with people that lead to redemptive purposes being revealed. Most of us are familiar with the story of Jesus and the woman at the well of Samaria. You find that in John chapter 4. Jesus, sitting by the well, tired from his trips, he meets this, or this lady walks up to him at the well and begins to fetch water. And Jesus says to her, "Give me a drink." She didn't greet him. There was no indication that there was even eye contact. But Jesus initiates a conversation with this woman. "Give me a drink." And the rest is history. She went and mobilized her whole city to come and hear what Jesus had to say. And then you see a situation in Acts chapter 8 from verse 26 where Philip initiated a conversation with the Ethiopian eunuch. And great things happened after that. And so on and so forth. So, initiating conversations is a powerful way for us to find those whom God has prepared for us to disciple. A lot of people are lonely in our world and just looking for somebody that can engage them. They may look well put together, they look confident, but I've met too many lonely people enough to know that don't be fooled by what you see on the outside. I used to work in an organization where in our office we had this poster, and it used to inspire me. It had the faces of many famous movie stars, you know, sports celebrities, models, political, you know, leaders and business gurus, and, you know, people that are well known and looking very all smiley and looking very confident of themselves. Then underneath the poster, these words are printed there: "Don't be fooled. Everybody needs Jesus." Truth about it is that we live in a world where hyper-individualism and independence is costing us our social relationships. Most people would rather spend endless hours interacting with their mobile phones than initiate conversations with a real person. Sometimes you see people even pretending to be busy on their phones. They are really not busy. Many times they are just flipping through old pictures, reading old text messages. They have their heads stuck on the screen, pretending to be busy. They are sending a signal out: "Don't disturb me. Nobody talks to me." I'm talking about people sitting in a waiting room, in an elevator, in a public place. They are simply just saying, "Look, this is my space." But if you check, I found many, many people doing this. They really aren't busy. It's just that individualism, we like to keep to our space. A disciple maker doesn't live like that. You're looking for opportunities. It doesn't mean you become a busybody and you're talking to every single person, you know, because you want to make disciples. No, that's not it. Jesus was led by the Spirit. We can be led by the Spirit to know who to initiate conversations with. So, in the cities, especially in the urban areas, we find many people are lonely. But because of the culture of individualism, they keep to themselves. Many people who commit suicide, many of them say it's because of loneliness. I remember hearing about young people in Japan a few years ago where suicide rates were spiking. And they discovered that in their suicide notes, many of them were just saying, "Look, I'm just so lonely. I'm just so lonely." In the case of one particular young lady who committed suicide, when they eventually checked her Facebook account, they found that she had over 3,800 friends on Facebook. And yet she took her own life simply because she was so lonely. How do you have 3,800 virtual friends but no real friends that you can share life with? I get it. I understand. Many of us are self-conscious. We are afraid, what will people say? You know, how will they view me? Won't I be too forward? Am I not in their face? But the truth about it is that as we are led by the Spirit, we will know those who are lonely. We don't even have to wait to sense the feeling of being led by the Spirit. Just all around us, there are opportunities every day to greet somebody in the public transport, to initiate a conversation with the bank teller, to start talking to the security guard that we meet in a certain place. The opportunities are just endless. So think of how much opportunities that pass us by daily simply because we were too self-conscious, we were afraid of our reputation, and we miss opportunities to engage people that could be potential candidates for disciple making. So think about it. What are some of the barriers that you face with regards to starting conversations? Write them down. Write them down. A few years ago, when we began this new work in where we are working currently, before we began, I went somewhere to just have some time alone and seek the Lord's face on how to begin. We work with young people a lot, and seeking to engage university students and make disciples among them. And I didn't know where to really begin. So I took some time off to seek the Lord's face at a certain retreat center. I noticed on the third day of being there, two young ladies, which was my last day of being there really, two young ladies had come in to pray earlier in the day. And I did it, of course, everybody was minding their business. But later in the evening, while I was sitting outside on a park bench and closing up my own time of prayer, I noticed these two young ladies came out and also sat on a park bench way opposite me. And I sensed the Lord saying, go and talk to them. And I didn't want to. I felt that was a distraction. Of course, at first I wasn't clear it was the voice of the Lord, but there was just a prompting in my heart. Go talk to them. And I came up with every reason, every excuse why I shouldn't. But it persisted. It persisted. Go talk to them. And I kept saying, no, I'm here to pray. I'm not here to talk to anybody. But this went on for almost 10 minutes. And finally, I said, okay, fine, great. I'll just, go over and make a fool of myself. Of course not. But I walked up to them, introduced myself, and they introduced them. I asked them what are their names, and they told me. And what do you guys do? They told me they are students. That got my attention immediately. I asked them where. They said University of Nairobi. Wow, okay. So what are you doing here? And they told me they came to pray. What's happening? They had just recently been appointed into the leadership of their fellowship on campus. And they have a heart for outreach and evangelism. And they wanted their fellowship to be involved in mission, but they didn't know what to do, where to start, how to go about it. By now I'm smiling. I'm like, I'm the answer to your prayer. And they were wondering, who is this? What's he talking about? I'm like, that's exactly what I do. So we exchanged contacts and began to meet. After a few weeks, a couple of months, they gathered up a few of their friends and we began to disciple them and their friends on their campus. And that has led to us having a foothold in that particular institution, such that now we still have a group, a discipleship group on that campus. They have long graduated and left, but they are still students on that campus that use our materials for their discipleship group. It all began with a simple conversation that was initiated. There are many other such stories in scriptures and in real life, how a simple conversation led to a significant conversation. That means deeper issues were discussed and then led to a spiritual conversation where the issues of the gospel were introduced. This can work among people who are nominal, can work among even committed Christians who do need to be discipled nonetheless. It can work very much with people who aren't followers of Jesus, who do not believe. It can work with people of other faiths. I've had wonderful opportunities with people of other beliefs simply because we initiated a conversation on a bus, by the roadside, in an office, in an elevator. So, point here is the fourth practice that we're looking at that we need to build into everyday lifestyle is to come out of our shell, cross the line, and begin to initiate conversations with people. We bring the peace of God to them. We become people that start discussions that can lead to deeper issues of the faith, and eventually relationships are established that can lead to meaningful discipleship.